We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos daf of Chaf Hei. We begin on the bottom of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues from the theme of the previous Gemara, which is discussing regarding reciting different Devarim Shebekdusha, things like the Parashas of Shema, regarding when it's revealed to the person that he's inside of him is an Erva. Now the Gemara is going to speak specifically regarding when it's revealed to his own Erva, when he sees his own private parts. So the Gemara begins. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, if he has his belt, if he has his talis that's girded around his hips, and that is, it's to cover from the waist down, that although from his waist up he's unclothed, he's naked, however, the Gemara says, mutu likras kriyishma is allowed to say kriyishma. That is, at least, that it's the separation between his heart and his erva, and that is, he has, he's girded with a belt, he's allowed to recite kriyishma. Tanya mahochi, heisa talisa shel beged. If he has a cloth of vishal or of leather, vishal sack or sackcloth, chagur al masnav, that's tied around his waist, mutalikas krishma, he's allowed to recite krishma again because his eyes, his heart is not, so to speak, in continuous towards his erva, and since there's that interruption, he's allowed to recite krishma. Now we continue on to chafei med alf on the top. Avle tefila, but regarding tefila, achichas es libo, it's not enough that there's that hefsik, that separation between the heart and the erva. And you also have to cover the torso where the heart is. And that is, as Rashi explains, that he has to show himself as if he's standing in front of the king. And you have to stand with awe. But kriyishma is different because you're not standing in front of the king. Shemayin Esrei, the Amida is different, that it's as if we're standing in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that's why it's called Amida, we have to stand. But kriyishma and other things, although the Dvaram Shebekdushin, you have to separate between the heart and the erva, you don't have to be clothed on the top. You could be wearing, so to speak, like a bathing suit possibly, because there's no Isser, but regarding Shemayin Esrei, that would be improper. Now the Gemara continues with another statement by the same Amora. Vamra Avhuna, Shachach v'nichnes b'tfilin lebesa kisa. Let's say someone forgot, and he walked into the bathroom with his tefillin on. Menich yoda aleim atshigma. So he puts his hand on them until he finishes. And then that's the way of protecting the sanctity of the tefillin. So the Gemara asks, atshigma sokatayetach, do you think that we let him stay in the bathroom the whole time? What's he doing there with his tefillin? We let him finish? So the Gemara says, elekud amar av nacham b'yitzchak atshigma amud rishon. It's until he finishes the first discharge. In other words, he had started going to the bathroom, so until he finishes that first time, then he can hold his hand on his tefillin. Once he's done with that, he has to go out, take off his tefillin, and then go back in. However, the Gemara asks, "V'lifsig la'alti v'leikim," why doesn't he interrupt right away and then get up? Let him stop in the middle and go out, take it off, and go back in. So the Gemara says, "Mishum ne b'shimim gamliel," because as Reb Shimon Gamliel said, "The Tanya Reb Shimon Gamliel oimer, amud ha'chayzer meivisa adam l'de hadroikin," that if there's a forced back discharge of excrement, that brings a person to dropsy. That is a certain sickness that bloats the stomach area. And therefore, it's a dangerous thing to stop in the middle of releasing the waste. Silon ha-chayzer, maybe a sodom day yirokin, and that a forced back duct, which is a reference to the urethis, the pipes that take the urine out of the body, if a person forces it back, that causes a person to have jaundice, and that's also something that's dangerous, and therefore we said that he's allowed to finish that first discharge, but after that he has to go take off his tefillin and then come back in and finish off with releasing his waste. So now the Gemara continues regarding davening in an unclean place. What's the halacha? Again, we're talking about Dvarim Shebekdusha in regards to different things that are improper, for example, arayis, and this Gemara is talking about mevois hamatunafis in places which are unclean. Itmar, tsoya al-basari. If a person has excrement on his flesh, ayodoy monachas bebeis akisei, or if his hand is placed in the bathroom, that is, there's a wall between him and the bathroom, but he sticks his hand into the door, into that area, although he's outside, Rav Huna amar mutar likas krishma. Rav Huna allows the person to still say krishma. Rav Chisda amar asur likas krishma. Rav Chisda says you're not allowed to say krishma because you have excrement, and that's where the poskim say to you, a person should be very careful when he wipes himself that there should be nothing left on his flesh. And similarly, if he has his hand sticking in, Rav Chisda holds it's improper. So the Gemara explains the two shitas. Amar Rav, in my time with Rav Huna, why does Rav Huna hold that it's mutar to recite krishma if he has excrement on his flesh or if he has his hand sticking into the bathroom? So as it says in the pasuk, "Kol haneshama tehalel ka," all that breathe should praise Hashem. In other words, What and the reference to that is that the neshima, the breath, the mouth, and the nose are included in this halakha that praises Hashem, and all the other limbs are not included in that. And therefore, although there's excrement on his lower part of his body, or if his hand is in the bathroom, that doesn't make a difference, because that's not the aspect that's saying the praise. It's only his mouth and his nose, which are the neshama, the neshima, the breath. That's what's saying the praise, and therefore, since there's no excrement there, or that's not in the bathroom, as long as his head is not there, he's allowed to say praise to Hashem, which includes the parshas of Shema. Rav Chisda Amar, also likas Krishma. Rav Chisda says, you're not allowed to say Krishma. So he says, my time is Rav Chisda. The Chisiv, kolag tzmoise temarna, that all my limbs exclaim, Hashem Michamecha, who is like you, Hashem? And that is, he learns the other way, that you see that all the limbs are included in, so to speak, saying the praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, as long as one limb has excrement or is in an unclean place, it would be forbidden for the person to recite the parashas of Shema. So the Gemara continues on this same theme. Itma, reich ra sheyesh le'ikar. If there's a putrid odor, if there's a bad smell that has a tangible source, and that is that the waste is there and it's, so to speak, smelling. Whereas the halach of she'en le'ikar, that when there is no substance, would mean that there's just someone past gas, that there's nothing, there's no tangible source over here for this smell. So the Gemara is discussing now a waste that's there, excrement, that it's a tangible source, and now there's a smell that's emanating from it. So what's the halacha? If hu nama marchik dalad amis v'kar krishma, you have to distance yourself 4 amis from the main, from the thing, from the tangible source, that even though the smell is coming to you, for example, if let's say it's behind the person, that he doesn't see it, as long as he's 4 amis away, it's okay, v'kar krishma, he can recite krishma, even though he's still smelling it. Rav Chisda Amar, Marchik Dal Ramis Mimokim Shapasika Reach Bakar Krishma. Rav Chisda says it's not enough to go 4 amas away from the waste, from the excrement. Rather, you have to go where the smell stops. So let's say the smell is wafting over like 10 feet over. From where that stops, then you have to be 4 amas away after that. It's not enough to be away from the source. You have to be 4 amas away from the smell. So the Gemara says, Tani Kavosid Rav Chisda, we have a brisa that seems to say like Rav Chisda, that you have to be 4 amas away, not just from the substance, but even from the smell. And it says, Lo yikre odim kriyishma, loy keneged tzayis odim. A person should never say kriyishma, not opposite the waist of a person. And all these things that the brisa is going to say are even if there's no smell. But loy keneged tzayis klavim, and not opposite the waist of dogs. But loy keneged tzayis chazirim, and not opposite the waist of swine. And dogs obviously can happen on a real city street, that there's the waist of a dog, you're not allowed to recite Krishma facing that. V'loy keneged tzayis tarn legolam, and not opposite the waist of chickens. V'loy keneged ashpa shereich ra, not opposite a garbage dump that has a bad smell. However, v'mhoyim mokim gevoya, asar tvachim, v'yinomach asar tvachim, but if it was 10 tvachim higher than the person, or 10 tvachim lower than the person, then yeshiv b'tzidiv akar krishma. Then you could sit on the side, so to speak, of the garbage truck or the garbage heap, whichever one it is, and you could recite krishma, because then it's not, so to speak, opposite it, because it's in a separate area, because it's 10 tvachim higher or 10 tvachim lower. V'im lav, but if it's not higher than you or lower than you, then marchik maloyin, if you have to be as far away as the eye can see. In other words, if you can still see it in the distance, then it's a problem. If it's behind the person, then that's good enough with 4 tvachim, with 4 amis. But if it's a person's, if he's facing it, then he has to be that he can't see it. And the brisa says v'chein l'tfila, and the same goes for regarding shmoyne esrei. Reich ra sheyesh lo yikra, and if it's a smell that has a tangible source, then marchik dalad amis mimokam reich v'kir krishma. And this is the halacha from the brisa that says, like Rav Chisda, that if it's a bad smell that has a tangible source, then you have to be 4 amas away from where the smell stops, and then you can recite krishma. And therefore, that's exactly like Rav Chisda said, nal kavuna, that you just have to be 4 amas away from the source itself and not from the smell. So the Gemara comments on this. Amar Rava, les hichasuk yamas nita. The halacha is not like this brisa that it mentioned before, that it prohibited to recite Krishma opposite the waist of dogs or of swine, that was even when there's no hides that are tanning inside of it. The halacha is not like that, and that is because it would depend. The halacha is like the following brisa. That says, Leikra adam Krishma, leikra neged sayas adam. A person is not allowed to recite Krishma not opposite the waist of man, but leikra neged sayas chazirim, not opposite the waist of swine, but leikra neged sayas kalavim, not opposite the waist of dogs. However, this brisa qualifies it and says, "Bizman shenosen oyrois latoicha." That's only if there are hides that are inside of it that are tanning, and that is what happens is that the waste of dogs and of swine, the derech was that they would put it in the hides to tan it in. They would, it's some type of metabolic process. However, the waste of a man, of a human, is even if there's no hides inside of it. And that wouldn't be a qualification there. However, Rava says the halacha is like this brisa, that the waste of dogs is not a problem. It's only a problem if there are hides inside of it, and therefore on the city street, he would seem to say that it would be that it wouldn't be a problem to recite the halachas of Kriyashma facing the excrement of dogs. Now the Gemara continues on a smell that has no tangible source. Before we discussed the halacha of a bad smell that has a tangible source, now we're talking about something that doesn't. If you have a bad smell that does not have a tangible source, and that is if someone is mafiach, if he passes gas. So now the question is regarding Dvarim Shebekdusha. What would be the halacha? Can one recite Kriyishma in regards to when there's that smell? So Amalahu, he said to him, Osu Chazu Hani Tzifi de Beir Rav. He says, come and let's see these different mats, the so to speak, the benches in the Beis Medrash, in the shul, the Hanu Ganu, the Hanu Garsi. These are dozing and these are sleeping. And that is that although the derech is that people, when they sleep, that they pass gas, and still in spite of that, there are those here that are learning. So you see that you're allowed to have Dvarim Shebekdusha in spite of the fact that there's a Reach Ra, that there's a bad smell that does not have a tangible source. So it says, V'hanamili b'divrei Torah. But that's only for divrei Torah. And the reason is because since it's not possible any other way, because there's always going to be someone that's dozing off and he's going to pass gas and no one's going to be able to learn in the Beis Medrash, so therefore, then it's mutav. But Kriyishma loy, but regarding Kriyishma, we require you to go outside and recite Kriyishma, not do it where there's a bad smell, even though there's no tangible source. And then the Gemara qualifies it again. It says, V'divri Torah namalei amaren el dechavre. And this that we allowed you to learn the words of Torah, even when someone passed gas, is only when it's his friend. That or someone else in the Beis Medrash. But if he himself did it, he passed gas, he has to wait until that passes. There we did not allow it regarding the tikkun, so to speak, of the Beis Medrash, that because someone else is going to do it when it's yourself, then you have to wait till the smell passes. So now the Gemara continues along a similar halacha. Itmar, tzayoi veris, regarding passing excrement, that is, if let's say someone's carrying what's called a grav shel rei, that it's like, for example, a potty. If someone's carrying the potty through the room and you want to recite Kriyishma and he's passing through, what's the halacha? Are you allowed to say Kriyishma or not? In a sense, there's excrement, so you shouldn't be able to. But on the other hand, it's passing by. So the Gemara brings a machlokes. Abaya ama mutalikas Kriyishma. Abaya says it's permitted to recite Kriyishma and you don't have to stop, although someone's walking by with waste. Rava ama ostalikas Kriyishma. Rava says it's forbidden. So Amar Abaye Minah Minilah. Abaye says, where do I get this from to say this following halacha that although there seems to be excrement, that it's mutar recite Kriyishma if it's passing by? So he said, now we learn in the Mishnah, Hatomei Oimei Tachas Ilon Vator Oiver Tomei. This halacha that we're going to quote now in this Mishnah is not talking about someone that's carrying a dead person, because by a dead person, it doesn't make a difference if you're standing or sitting or walking. It's wherever it is, it's considered oil if you're in the same area as the mass, as the corpse. Rather, the Mishnah going to quote is regarding a Metzora. Now, we learn in Teres Kayanim that the Torah reveals regarding the Metzora that it has to be dafka by yeshiva, by when he's in one place. As it says in the Pasuk, bodid yeshiv, that alone he will sit, michutz lamachna moishavai, that out of the camp will be his place, so that moishavai, his moishav, where he's sitting, is tamei. And from there we say that the same thing would apply when he's standing, it's the same thing as sitting, where it's established, it's kavua. But if he's going, then he's not kavua, and then halachas would be different as we see in this Mishnah. So let's say the Mishnah again, that says, Hatomei oimer tachas ilon, if the Metzora is standing under a tree, Vator oimer tamei, and then the tar, a regular person that doesn't have the tzaras, is walking by under the same tree. He becomes tamei, and that is because since the Metzora is stationary, so therefore, it's considered his oil, and if someone passes by, he's in the same tent, the same area, the same umbrella area, and therefore he becomes tummy. However, tar oimetachas ilon. However, let's say a tar person, a regular person, is standing under the tree. The tummy of it, over, and the metzora passes by, so he's not stationary, then the tar person is tar. He remains pure because the metzora cannot communicate his tummy only through when he's stationary, and here he's walking. But if he would stop, although he was walking by and he stops under the tree and he starts schmoozing with this guy, then the Torah becomes tummy. And the Mishnah says, v'chim be'evan ha-menagas, the same thing would apply to a contaminated stone, and that is, if it was taken from the house of the Metzora, which has tsaras, so that also has the same tummy, the same halachis, that it would make a difference if it's passing by or if it's stationary. And that is because the pasuk compares the house to the Metzora, as it says, l'isat teru l'chol nega tsaras, v'la nesig l'tsaras, ha-beged v'la boyis. So we see we compare the tsaras to the bayis, and that is it has the same halachis regarding that it's only would transmit its tummy only if it's stationary. And therefore, Abaye says that you see this concept that hoylich lav ka'ime dami, that in other words, if something is passing by, that it's not like it's stationary, and therefore the excrement, we don't view it as it's here. It's not considered in this area, just like we don't see the mitzvah when he's passing by this tree, this room, because he's not stationary. And therefore, you could recite the Krishma. Rav Amalach, Rav is going to tell you, no, you can't bring a raya from there by the halachas of Mitzrayim. Because Hasan b'kviyus to Talia Milsa, there the Torah makes it dependent on the permanence of the Mitzrayim. The Chsiv says in the Pasuk, Bodid Yeshiv, that in isolation he will sit, Mechutz l'mach n'meshavi, that from out of the camp will be his dwelling. And therefore, that's why it depends on if he's kavua, if he's meshavi, if he's dwelling there, then it transmits his tumma. However, hach, over here, it's a different halacha. It says in the pasuk, v'hoyim mechanecha kadosh, that your camp shall be holy. Amar Rachmana, that's what the Torah says. V'holeka, and that we don't have, because l'maisa, you have tzaya, you have something that's not kadosh, that's here in the room, so although it's passing by, it's still a violation of v'hoyim mechanecha kadosh, and therefore, it would be forbidden to recite Kriyishma even if it's passing by. And therefore, we have this machalikis abayin rava regarding tzaya veris, if it's just passing by, if one is allowed to recite Kriyishma, or if one would have to stop in middle. So now the Gemara continues on this theme. Amar Papa, pi chazir k'tzoya iveris dami. That regarding this machlokes, we have like tzoya iveris, that the same thing would apply to the mouth of a hog. And that is, that his mouth is filthy, it's full of excrement. And therefore, when he's passing by, it has the same aloch as a tzoya iveris. So the Gemara asks Peshitta, it's obvious, because you never have the mouth of a hog, of a swine, that doesn't have excrement inside of it. So of course it would be also to recite Krishma and as a mitzad the halacha of Tzoye Veres, because of Bahoy Mechanech Kaddish. So the Gemara says, Loit Tzricha. We need it for the case that Avagav the Sog Ben Har, even though he just came up from the river, still it would be forbidden to recite Krishma, although you would think that now it's clean, because he just came up from the river. Still it's Aser. Some of the Rishonim explain it like based on the concept of Grav Shel Rei, which is something that's a receptacle that's designated for waste, for example, a toilet, that although it's clean now, it still has specific halachas that would make it forbidden to recite Kriyishma facing it. So now the Gemara says, what would be the halacha regarding if we're not sure if there's waste regarding reciting Kriyishma or other Devarim Shebekdusha? So Amar Bihuda, Safik Tzaya Asura, that if there's possible waste where you want to recite the Devarim Shebekdusha, it would be forbidden. However, if there's a suffix, if you're not sure if there's urine there, then it would be permitted. And that is, as we're going to see, that urine is, so to speak, on the lower madrega, it's not as chamer as waste. Ikadami, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, that he said it the following way. Suffix tzaya bebayis muteres. If there's possible waste in the house, then it's permitted. And the reason is because it's not the derech, it's not the custom to have waste in the house. People generally go out of the house, or nowadays in the toilet, and therefore we don't have to suspect in the room that there's going to be waste. So though you're not sure, you're allowed to rely on that chazaka and recite the Devarim Shebekdusha. However, ba'ashpa asura, but in the trash heap, then although you're not sure, it would be prohibited because there the derech is for waste or other excrement to be there, and therefore it would be forbidden to recite the Devarim Shebekdusha. Safik meraglayim, afila ba'ashpa namitarn. And if you're not sure, if there's urine, even in the trash heap, it would be permitted. So the Gemara explains, what is this difference to differentiate between excrement and urine? Savala ki hod Rav Amnuna, because he holds like Rav Amnuna. Dam Rav Amnuna, lo asra Torah ele keneged amud belvad. The Torah did not make it forbidden regarding urine to recite Kriya Shema opposite or other Devarim Shebekdusha, only opposite the stream, when it's streaming. However, once it's on the ground, then it's not a problem anymore. Okay, Rabbi Yonasan, Rabbi Yonasan posed a contradiction. It says, on the one hand, it says in the Pasuk, Siv, v'yotiyah l'cha mechutz l'machna, that there should be a place for you out of the camp, v'yotzasa sham mechutz, and you shall go out over there to that place, and that's to relieve oneself. However, it doesn't say anywhere there in the pasuk that you have to cover that, although people pass by over there, it doesn't say that you have to cover what was relieved. Uchsev, on the other hand, it says in the pasuk, v'yasi tiyelecha v'goymer, that you shall have a shovel for you outside the camp, v'chesiset seisecha, and that you shall cover your evacuation. And that is, we see from that pasuk that what one relieves oneself, one should cover. So haketzad, how do you resolve that? How on the one hand it says that you should cover it, and the other hand says that you don't have to cover it and there won't be a problem. So kamigdailim kamigtanim, that when it says that one must cover it because there are people that pass by and they might be isik in varm shabagdusha, that's for if someone relieves himself excrement. However, where it says that you don't have to cover it, that's regarding urine. And therefore, alma ktanim la'esotayra l'keneged amad bulvad. So we see that min ha'tayra, that it was only forbidden by urine to recite varm shabagdusha opposite the stream, actually when it's streaming. But if I fell to the ground already, then it's permitted min ha'tayra. And therefore, in mitzad halacha, mitzad the Torah, there's no problem, even if there's urine on the ground, to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha. However, Rabban, who the Gazib, who the Rabbanan, decreed against it that one should not be allowed to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha even when it's on the ground. However, when did Rabban decree this? Only when it's definitely there, but when there's a possibility and you're not sure, then they didn't decree it, and therefore there's no problem to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha if there's possible urine in the area. However, the Gemara asks, and that, let's say when there is definite urine, how much, in other words, how long does it have to be on the ground that it'll still be forbidden? In other words, how long, what is the process that it takes until one could resume to recite the Dvarim Shebekdusha where once someone urinated there? And Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul calls man shematfichin, as long as it still moistens things that touch it, it's still forbidden to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha there. Calls man shematfichin, as long as it moistens, it's prohibited. Also said the same halacha as long as it moistens. However, the Gemara brings a mandama that argues on this and says a different criteria, and that is Geneva mishmei derav amar, that Geneva said as long as the trace is discernible, that although that it's not wet anymore, however you see the trace of it in the ground, it would still be prohibited. So Namor commented on this. Amr Rabbi Yosef, surely morally Geneva, let Hashem, so to speak, forgive Geneva for saying such a statement, that he definitely said a lie when he was testifying that this was a statement that Rav had said. And he said, it can't be, because Hashtet Tzaya, if we find regarding excrement, that's definitely Mochama Amr Rabbi Yehuda Merav. The statement was said in Rav, Kivin Shekamer Panel Mutter, as long as the top of the excrement had crusted over, it's permitted to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha there. Merik Lai Meboyas, so regarding urine, do you have a question that for sure it would be Mutter if there's just a trace that's discernible? Of course there should be Mutter. How could they have said that if there's still a trace discernible that it's going to be Aser in the name of Rav, when Rav was Makel, even on excrement that was just crusted over? So a different Amori responded to that and said, Omli Abaya, my chaz is the samchir aho, samuch aho. What is it that you're relying on this statement of Rav to ask on Geneva from that? You can rely on a different statement of Rav that won't be difficult on Geneva. Damar Rabbarav hu namar Rav, tsaya filik cheris asura, that we have a different Amori saying a statement in Rav that was more chamer by tsaya, that even if it's like earthen where it's aser. And that is, the Gemara explains, what does it mean that if you have excrement like earthenware, that it's still a problem of saying Dvarim Shebekdusha in it? As long as you'll throw the excrement and that it wouldn't crumble because there's still some moisture in there, that would still be qualified as an Isser of reciting Dvarim Shebekdusha in there. And therefore, that's not difficulty according to Gneva, because that's also something that's a very chamer de gashita that could be applicable like his shita of having just a trace of urine there. Vigadami, and some say that the criteria that was said regarding cheres is called zman shegoyel of ein nefreches. As long as if you would roll it, it wouldn't crumble, that would still be considered tsaya and that would be asa. And this is a more chamer de gashita than the first version, that even if you'll throw it, it would crumble, since if you rolled it, it wouldn't crumble. That's still considered that there's still some moisture, and therefore it's considered Saya, and therefore it's not a question on Geneva, because that definitely works in tandem with his statement regarding urine, that as long as there's a trace discernible, it would still be Aser to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha there. So Nag Gemara brings a story related to this. Amar Ravina, have a ka'im the kamid Rabbi Yehuda Medifti. I was once in front of Yehuda from Difti, and Chazit Saya. So he saw excrement. So Amali, Ayin ikramu panei loy. So he told me, go check and see if it's the top is crusted or not. And that is because if he wanted to think in Torah or recite Dvarim Shebekdusha or whatever it is, he told me to go check because that was the criteria to see if the top crusted or not. Ikudami, that those that say a different version. Hachi Amali, this is what he told him. Ayin imafloi afloi. Go check if the excrement developed cracks. And that is, if it developed cracks, then obviously it's dry, and then it would be permitted to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha in its area. So the Gemara is Maya Havala. What ended up happening? What is the halacha lamaisa regarding urine and waste? What would be the criteria that it still be asa? So itma, we learned tsoya kecheres. The halacha would be that as long as tsoya, that excrement, is like earthenware, it's still asa. A memo amasura, a memo says that it's asur. Umazutra amamateres, we have machlekes amiram regarding that when the waste is like earthenware, a memo is saying that it's prohibited, and mazutra is saying that it's mutu. So amarava, hilchas tzoye kecheres asur. So Rava paskins, aloha by waste, by excrement, is that if it's like earthenware, it's still prohibited. Umera glayim, kozman shematvichin. And regarding urine, as long as it moistens something that would touch it, then it would be asur. However, if it would be just a trace discernible, then it would be mutter and it wouldn't be a problem. So now the Gemara asks, on this halachic statement of Rava, Meisve, we learned, Meira Glayim, Kozman Shematfichan Asur, we learned regarding urine, as long as it moistens, it's prohibited. Nivlu'u Ayav Shumutarim, but if it got absorbed into the ground, or it evaporated, let's say, on top of stones through the sun, then it would be permitted to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha in that area. So the Gemara is Medayik. My lav Nivlu Dum Yud Yavshu. Wouldn't be make sense that we compare when it gets absorbed to when it dries up? That is my yavshu dein rishum nikker. Just like when something dries up, that there's no trace anymore because it totally evaporated, and then it's mutter. Af nivlu dein rishum nikker. Then it would be mashma that similarly regarding when it gets absorbed in the ground, that it's when there's no trace discernible. Harishum nikker also, but that would be mashma that when the trace is discernible, that you still see that there was something a stain there, that would be prohibited. Even though it doesn't moisten anymore, which would be like geneva, not like the way Rava was paskening. So the Gemara answers, according to the way you want to understand this halacha from the Braisa, let's look at the Reisha. It says, as long as the urine moistens its asa. So you could be medayik from there. You could imply that when the trace is discernible, then it would be mutter, because it's only if it moistens. So obviously you can't learn out from that halot, from that tanoic statement either way, because the mashmois go, the inference can go either way, and therefore you can't prove your point from either way. So the Gemara wants to say that lemikatanoi, let's say that this machloik is regarding if the trace is discernible, if that would still be a prohibition to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha opposite urine, that should be a machloik is tanoi. Because we learned, klisha nishpachu mimena meriklaim, also likas kriyash ma connector. If you have a vessel that urine spilled out from it, that would, in other words, that there's no more urine in there now, that would be prohibited to recite Kriyishma facing it, like, for example, a potty. Umer glaim asma chenishpachim, regarding urine itself that spilled out, so nivlu'u mutter, that if it got absorbed into the ground, then it's permitted. Lo nivlu'u asa, but if it wasn't absorbed into the ground yet, then it's asa. Rabbi Yosi Aimer kozman shematvichin, Rabbi says that the criteria is as long as it moistens. So the Gemara asks, regarding this machlekes, my nivlu, my loy nivlu, the karma tanakam. What does tanakam mean when he says that it depends if the urine is absorbed or that it's not absorbed? Ilem a nivlu de matfichin. If it means that when it gets absorbed, that now it doesn't moisten anymore, and that loy nivlu de matfichin, this that it didn't get absorbed, is that it still moistens, and that's the criteria if it's us or not. Va'aser b'yis lemeimar kozman shematfichin hu de aser. Harishum and Nikoshari, and what Rabbi Yosi is coming to say is as long as it moistens is prohibited, but if the trace is discernible and it's only there, it's not wet anymore, then it would be permitted. So in the Tanakama, that's the same as the Tanakama. They're both saying the same thing. Ella nivlu dein rishum and nikar. Obviously, we have to say that what it means when it got absorbed is that it's so absorbed that it's like when they got evaporated, that the trace is not even discernible. And loy nivlu meant the rishum and nikar, that it wasn't absorbed means that the trace is discernible. And Vasar Rabbi Yisra Lameyma, and Rabbi Yisra comes along to say that no, kol zman shematvichin hu da'asar, that as long as it moistens is prohibited, harishum nikar shari, however, that as long as the trace is discernible, it would be mutter, and therefore it seems to be a machlokes tanoim over here, that if it's asar up until that it gets absorbed, that it's, in other words, regarding if it's rishum nikar, or if that's the halacha, that it moistens. The Gemara answers no. Loit, the kulama, kazman shema tefichin nudasa. In essence, really, everyone agrees that as long as it moistens, it's prohibited. Harishumin nikrashari, and that obviously that would mean that if the trace is discernible, it would be mutter. And if so, so what is the machlekes between them? So now we continue on to Amud Beis. The machlokes that they're having is regarding if it has to be enough to moisten something that can then go ahead and moisten something else. And that is the Tana Kama requires that not only that it moistens something that touched it, but that that thing that touched it could then go ahead and moisten something else. And Rabbi Yisrael Machmer and Rabbi Yisrael was saying that no, as long as it's matfiach, as long as it can moisten something else, it'll be usur, even though that thing cannot is not moist enough to go ahead and moisten something else, it would still be prohibited, and it has a din of urine, and it would be a violation of a hayy mechanech hakadosh. Now we continue. We return to the Mishnah that stated, "Yared litful emyochal lalas." It referred to someone that went ahead to immerse himself, and because he had the tumah of carry. So then, if he has enough time to get out of the mikvah, out of the river, until that it won't be past the time of netzachama, then by sunrise, then he should go ahead and get out. But if not, he should recite it inside of the mikvah. So then it would seem that the criteria is that kriyishma has to be said by netzachama by sunrise. So the Gemara wants to say lema tana stama kreveliyaza. So it would seem to be obvious that we're saying a stama, that we're saying point blank, like we're quoting anonymously, like Kreveliyaza the amar and netzachama, that he says this man of kriyishma is only up until sunrise, and therefore it would seem to be that halacha is like him, because whenever we state a stama halacha, that it's that the halacha tends to be like that person. So the Gemara says no. A filatim Rabbi Yeshua, you could even say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, that one can recite the morning kriyishma until 3 hours into the morning. V'dilma k'vasikin, and maybe the Mishnah is a reference to somebody that's like the vasikin, and that is they used to daven the kriyishma right before netzachama sunrise, and they would daven shemoneh esrei when it was sunrise. However, according to everybody, in other words, for everybody else, you can recite kriyishma up until 3 hours. As the Gemara says, "Derem Rabbi Yechonon v'sikin ha'yugaymer noisei manetzachama." The v'sikin, the devout ones, they would finish the kriyishma with netzachama so that they could right away recite the Amida, the Shemoneh Esrei, right after sunrise. And therefore, for that type of person that was v'sikin, that for them, that's their requirements. Therefore, it would depend if he could have enough time to get out of the mikvah or not. But everyone else, definitely they could recite kriyishma up until 3 hours into the morning. Now again, we return to the Mishnah that said vim lav, and if there's not enough time for him to get out of the mikveh and get dressed and recite and finish kriyishma before netzachama, then yiskasa b'mayim v'yikra, he should cover himself in the water and recite the kriyishma there in the mikveh. So the Gemara asks, but his heart is, so to speak, seeing his erva. And that is, the Gemara thinks now that every limb, that it's not the derech for that limb to see the erva, and it sees it at the time when he's saying Dvarim Shebekdusha, when he's reading from the Torah, that is in a violation of Le'yiroh B'cha Erva Stava, that it should not be seen by you the nakedness of something. In other words, obviously the area there sees it all the time, but everything that usually doesn't see it, for example, the person's heart, because a person's pants intervenes in the belt, so therefore it should be a problem when he's in the mikveh that his or in the pool that it's seeing his erva. So how could he recite kriyishma there in the mikveh? We're talking about cloudy water. That is the damu ka'aris michta. It's similar to as if it's thick ground. In other words, it's almost like he's submerged in the ground where there his body is, so to speak, covered by sand. Similar here, it's covered by the water that since it's murky water and you can't see it, so therefore his heart's not seeing the erva. And that is shalo yira li bervasi, that is that his heart is not seeing his erva. So Gemara continues on this halacha. Tan Rabban, mayim tzlulin, when he's in clear water, yeshiv behen atzavoy b'kar, he could sit in the water up until his neck, and then recite kriyishma. V'yashayimim oichrom b'raglin, some say that no, he should cloud up the water with his feet to shake it around, that then it won't be clear, and that his heart won't see his erva. So the Gemara asks, "V'tanakama v'ari liberes erva?" What does the Tanakama do that he allows him just to sit there in the clear water, his heart is seeing his erva? So the Gemara answers, "Ksava liberesa erva muta." He holds that when his heart sees his erva, that's permitted, and as long as his head is out of the water, it won't be a problem of reciting Dvarim Shebekdusha. Then the Gemara asks, "Vareh keva reisa erva?" But his heel sees his erva. So the Gemara answers, "Ksava keva reisa erva muta." He holds similarly regarding one's heel. If it sees the erva, it's also permitted. Now the Gemara continues on this halacha itmar. Akeva roya se'erva mutter. So we know that if the heel sees the erva, that's mutter. However, what's the halacha regarding negeya? If his heel is touching his erva, let's say he's sitting like in a pretzel shape, and his heel is touching his erva, what's the halacha? Abaya ama'as. Abaya says it's prohibited. It's forbidden to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha then. Rava ama mutter, Rava says it's permitted. So the Gemara says that this version of the Machlekes and Bayar Rava was Rav Zvid Masni Lal Hoshmai Tahachi. He's the one that learned this dialogue, this Machlekes, in the way we just quoted. However, the Gemara brings a different version of this Machlekes. Rav Chinna Bereda of Ika Masni Lal Hoshmai, he learned it as follows. We know Negeya Divri Hakol Aser, regarding if the heel is touching the Erev, according to everybody, it's forbidden. Raya, however, regarding if the heel is seeing the Erev, there we have the Machlekes. There, Abaya Ma'as, Abaya says it's prohibited. Rava Amamutta, Rava says it's permitted. And why did Rava say it's permitted if it's seeing the Erva? Because Lo Nitna Tari La Malach Asharis, which is a phrase that's used many times in the Gemara, and it's important for Halacha, that the Tari was not given for the ministering angels. And that is, the Malachim, they don't have Erva. However, we, against our will, we have an Erva, and it's very difficult to be careful from there. And therefore, although our heel is seeing the Erva, it's not going to be a problem, and one can recite Dvarim Shebekdusha. And this is a statement that the Stipler and other Poskim had used regarding when one cleans oneself before one's davening, or to know if he has to use the bathroom or not, is that Leinitna Tarla Malach Hashar is that you do the best you can, but there are certain things that we're incapable of because we're not Malachim, we're human beings, and we have our flaws. So the Gemara says, Behilchasa Negeya Asa Roya Mutta. The halacha is that if the heel is touching the erva, then it's forbidden. However, if it's just seeing it, then it's mutter, as Rava said, because we're not malach hasharis, we're not angels. And the reason why, if the heel touches the erva, that it's us, as the Taisa says, is because it's gzeiras chachamim, that if we allow you that the heel should touch the private parts, then maybe he'll touch it with his hands, and that will be a definite problem to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha, and that's why we made it forbidden even with the heel. So now the Gemara. Up until now, we spoke about two different types of issues reciting Dvarim Shebekdusha, regarding in the sight of erva, nakedness, and regards reciting in front of, let's say, waste and excrement and different things which are mevoyis hamatanofis. One is a problem of lo yiror l'chol ervas davar, and one is a problem of ahoy mechanecha kadosh. So now the Gemara says that there's differences in halacha regarding saying krishma in regards to opposite these two things. Amar Rava, tzaya ba'ashoshes, mutad likas krishma kenegda. If there's waste that's in something that's transparent, then it's permitted to recite krishma opposite. However, erva ba'ashoshes, if there's nakedness that's in the glass, also likas krishma kenegda, then it would be prohibited to recite krishma opposite. So if let's say you have a wall made out of glass or something very thin that's transparent and you could see through it, so then if it's a waste product, then it would be permitted. But if it's a nakedness of something that would be prohibited to see when one's reciting krishma, then it would not help and it would be still be forbidden to recite it. And the Gemara explains why there's this difference. Tzaya ba'ashashas mutalikas krishma kenegda ditzaya b'kisu talya milsa, because waste is what is dependent on is that it has to be covered. And that is, as we said in Omer Aleph, it says in the Pasuk of Chisisa es Seisech that you should cover your evacuation. The halacha is not so much that you can't see it, but that it should be covered. And since it's covered, although it's transparent, it's not a problem of reciting Dvarim Shebekdusha in its presence. And therefore, as the Gemara says, v'hamachasin, since it's covered, it's okay. However, erva ba'ashashas also likas krishma kenegda, but reciting krishma opposite erva, nakedness, is forbidden if it's transparent. And that is because it says in the Pasuk, the Torah says that it should not be seen by you, the nakedness of something, and he sees it. So although it's covered, it's not going to help because he's focusing on this nakedness, and that's improper when one is reciting Dvarim Shebekdusha. So now the Gemara continues on the prohibition of reciting Krishma in front of waste. Am Abaya, Tzaya Kol Shehu Mevat Lebereik. If there's a minute amount of excrement, then one can nullify that with spittle. And that if he spits on it and he covers it with spit, then it's enough to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha in its presence. Rava, but Rava qualifies and he says, Bereik Av, it has to be thick spit. In other words, something like more phlegmatic, it has to be like phlegm. Then if it covers it, then it's okay to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha in its presence. So Rava says, Tzaya Beguma, if there's excrement in the hole, What you can do is as follows. Manich sandelo yoleho v'kari krishma. You can put your sandal, you can put your shoe on top of it and recite krishma, because then it's covered and you don't see it. So now the Gemara asks a question related to this. What's the halacha if he has excrement? Sometimes it happens, someone's walking somewhere and he has dung, he has waste on his shoe, on the bottom of his heel. What's the halacha? Could a person recite Dvarim Shebekdusha? And similarly in this case, if he's stepping over to cover it, if it's on his shoe, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, take it, let it stand, that the Gemara has not resolved this question if it's permitted or usher to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha when it's on his shoe. Now the Gemara continues on to Erva regarding nakedness. Amar Rav Yehuda, Akum Orum Osar Likras Krishma Kenegdei. Facing a naked idolater, it would be forbidden to recite Krishma facing him. So the Gemara asks, Mayiri Akum Afil Yisrael Nami. What is the difference of seeing the Erva of an Akum, of an idolater, of a non-Jew, even facing the nakedness of a Jew is forbidden? Why are we picking an Akum? So the Gemara says, Yisrael Pshiti Leilasa. When one is facing the Erva, the nakedness of a Jew, or Jewish, it would be forbidden. That's pashut, because that's erva. Ela akam isrchale. However, regarding a non-Jew, regarding an idolater, there we have to tell you this halacha, and that is, ma'u detema hoyil b'chsev b'hu asher b'sar chamurim b'sarum. I would have thought, since the pasuk says, related to idolaters, that because the flesh, their flesh is the flesh of donkeys, eima kechamur ba'amahu, so I would think that it's literally like a donkey, that just like you're allowed to say krishma facing a donkey, although he's unclothed, so too, when you're facing the Akum, it would be permitted to recite Krishma facing their Erva, so to speak. Kamash Malon, the Inhunami Ikra Erva, that the Chiddush is that, no, they're, although they have the Basar of Chamayim, so to speak, however, they're also called Erva. The Chsiva says in the Pasuk regarding when they were covering the nakedness of Noach after that he got drunk in his tent, the Erva Savim Leirohu, and that the nakedness of their father they didn't see, and that's Noach, and that's what the Goyim have the din of Bnei Noach. He was not a Yisrael, and still it calls it Erva, so therefore you see that their nakedness is called an Erva, and therefore it would be prohibited to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha, although it's a naked guy, a non-Jew, that one is facing, it would still be prohibited. So now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that said that this, that where he's allowed to recite the Kriyishma in the pool, in the ocean, but in the water. However, it says, Lo yiskasa lo b'mayim rum, he shouldn't cover himself, not in putrid water, and not in the water of the seeping where the flax was seeping, which again, these are foul-smelling waters, until you put water into them, to, so to speak, to nullify the putrid waters. So the Gemara asks, how much water are you going to be able to put in there? In other words, there's so much water, you're sitting in a huge tub or mikvah of this smelly water, how much water are you going to be able to put in there to nullify it? So the Gemara says, correct. The Mishnah is saying as follows: Lo yiskasa lo b'mayim meroyim v'lo b'mehamisha klal. You can't say the Kriyishma not in this putrid waters or in the water where the flax is seeping at all. And there is words missing from the Mishnah. We have to insert the following words: Umeraglayim ad sheyatl teichin mayim yikra. And that urine is also prohibited to say in the presence of that until you put in water to mavatlit, since there's very little urine there, and it's in a vessel, and you come to say Krishma near it. So therefore, then you could put in water to nullify it, and then you can say Krishma. So Tanu Rabban, Kama Yatlan Teichemayim. How much water do you have to put into the urine to nullify it that you could recite Krishma in spite of the fact that you're in its presence? So the Tanakhama says Kolshu, any amount of water will work. Reb Zaka says no, you have to put in a Revius, which is between 3 and 5 ounces of water. That's how much you would have to put into Mevatel of the urine. So the Gemara comments on this, that Amar of Nachman, Machlekes Lib Seif. The Machlekes in this, between Reb Zaka and the Tanakama, was only regarding afterwards. In other words, that you had Meragalayim, you had urine in this kli, and then this person is putting in water to nullify it, and there Reb Zaka said that then you have to have a Revius. But if the water was first, and in other words, you come to put water in there, that when the person urinates, it shouldn't be a problem to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha there, then it's enough even a minute amount of water that was there first. And that is, even Reb Zaka would agree that since you're urinating afterwards, that every droplet as it comes into the water is nullifies it, because it's only a drop that's coming. And although at the end there'll be a lot of urine, every drop was already nullified as it came in, so therefore it's enough, according to everybody, even a minute amount of water. However, the Gemara brings a different Amar that argues and says, Rav Yosef Amar, no. Machloikis liketchila. The machlekes between them was regarding initially that if the water is there first, then do you need to have a minute amount, or would you even need a revius? Aval b'saif, but if the water is coming after the urine's already there, then divrei hakol revius, then everybody, even the Tanakam, would agree that you need to have a revius to nullify it. So the Gemara brings a story l'shitasai of Rav Yosef that Omar Rav Yosef l'shamai. Rav Yosef told his attendant, I see Rav Yosef demayik Rav Zakai, bring me a revius of water like Rav Zakai, that even initially, that even if he's coming to put the water in first, it should require to have a revius of water, because that's where the machlekes was, and because afterwards everybody agrees he needs to have a revius. So now the Gemara continues on this theme. Tan Rabban, Graf Shel Rei V'Ovid Shemer Aglayim, regarding a pot for excrement and a pot for urine, and that is a Graf and Ovid are both made out of pottery, out of earthenware, and they're really the same thing. Just when it's used for excrement, it's called Graf, and when it's used for urine, it's called Ovid. Tosis comments that Rashi says that it has to be from earthenware that we're discussing. And the reason is because earthenware is mavliya. It takes in the, so to speak, what's in there into the walls. So Tosis says, mashma from Pirush Rashi, that a vessel that is not bileya, it doesn't take it into the walls, for example, glass, then possibly it would be mutter that as long as it's clean, although it's used and designated for urine or for waste, then it would be permitted. And the Poskim today say similar halachas regarding a potty, that since they're made out of plastic, and the plastic, if it's not bileya, so therefore it doesn't take it into the walls. If it's clean, that it wouldn't have these halachas of Graf Shel Rei and Ovid Shemer Aglayim, and possibly would be permitted to recite Devarim Shebekdusha facing them. However, our Gemara is saying that a regular Graf Shel Rei, let's say it's made out of earthenware, and it's a pot for urine, then also likras Kriya Shema connecting, it'd be forbidden to recite Kriya Shema facing them. V'afa pish embem klum, and even though if there's nothing inside of them, and that is it was cleaned out, since it's designated for this purpose, even though nothing's in there, it's forbidden to recite Kriya Shema facing it. And then it continues in Meraglaim Atzman, and regarding urine itself, that is, if it, let's say, in a vessel that's not designated for it, then Achayatl Techen Mayim, then it would be prohibited until you put in water. But Kama Yatl Techen Mayim, how much water do you have to put in to nullify the urine? So the Tanakhama says, Kol Shu, just a minute amount. And Bzaka Im Revius, Bzaka says it has to be Revius. So now the Bryce says, Mamshacha continues on and says that this halacha applies to the Graf Shel Rei, Bein Lefnei Hamita, whether it's in front of the bed, that is, the bed is not separating between him and this potty, so to speak, Bein La'achar Mita, whether it's behind the bed, that the bed is separating between the individual reciting Devarim Shel Kedusha and this receptacle, it's still prohibited because the bed is not considered mechitza. It's not separating it for between him and that, and therefore it would be prohibited to recite Devarim Shel Kedusha. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that La'achar Mita Kar, that if it is behind the bed, then you could recite the Kriya Shema, because as long as this graph Shel Rei is behind the bed is considered mechitza. However, lefnei hamita in the car, but if it's in front of the bed and he's right there facing it, then it's prohibited. Aval marchiku arba amos v'kar, but you could distance yourself 4 amos, and then as long as it's 4 amos away, you could recite the Kriya Shema. The third time, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Eimer, afilu bayis meya amaliku, even if the house is 100 amos long and he's facing it, he's not allowed to recite the Kriya Shema, either ad sheyitzim, until he takes it out of the room, or if he puts it under the bed, and that is that it's as if it's buried in the ground because it's like under the bed, then although it doesn't work possibly behind the bed, but if it's under the bed, then he's allowed to recite the Kriya Shema. So now the Gemara asks, Ibailahu, Heichi Kama Reb Shimon Gamliel, what was Reb Shimon Gamliel saying when he said regarding the Isra of the Graf Shel Rei? That is, Acha Mita Kari Miyat, that if it's behind the bed, then you would be able to recite Kriya Shema, even if it's right there, as long as it's right behind the bed, as if it was behind the wall, even if you're not 4 amos away. And lefnei hamita, marchik arba amos v'kar, but if it's in front of the bed, then when he qualified and said that you can distance yourself 4 amos and recite, that was even regards in front of the bed that he's facing it. Maybe this is what he said, that he, when he said this qualification of that you could distance yourself 4 amos and recite, that is la'achar mita marchik dal amos v'kar. If it's behind the bed and you're 4 amos away, then you could say it. But lefnei hamita in the karakla, but if it's in front of the bed, then you can't recite it at all. What did he mean when he said that you could distance yourself 4 amos and then recite? Was it going on the case of when it's behind the bed, or even on the case when it's in front of the bed? So toshima, The Tanya learned in the Braiser that reverses the opinions, and it'll seem to shed light on what this opinion actually was saying. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Achra Mita Kor Miyad. That if it's behind the bed, you could recite it right away, as if it's a wall, even if you're within the four amas of it. Lifnei hamita marchika ba'amas. But if it's in front of the bed, then you could distance yourself for amas. And we see that this opinion was saying it, even if it's in front of the bed. However, Reb Shimon Gamliel loimer afila bayis mei amas liyikra. However, Reb Shimon Gamliel says even if it's 100 amas long the house, you're not allowed to recite it asher yitzim or asher nichem techaz mita until you take it out of the room or until you put it under the bed. So the Gemara comments on this. Bayin ifshatalan. Our inquiry was resolved, and that is, we were able to see from here that the difference between in front of the bed or after the or behind the bed was that the qualification of going four amas away was if it's in front of the bed, not behind the bed. Because if it's behind the bed, you can be right there and say it. However, masnaisa kashna dadi, but now we have the difficulty of the brises being a challenge because it switched the opinions of Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Shimon ben Elazar. That although now we understand that what the opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah, we were able to see from how it's said in the name of Reb Shimon Elazar, because they switch it over there, and there we know Reb Shimon Elazar was saying Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion. However, but now there's that contradiction. Who said what? So the Gemara answers, Epech Basraisa, that reversed the latter one. In other words, the latter Braisa that we quoted, switched that. That should really be not Reb Shimon Elazar, it should rather be Reb Shimon Gamliel. And therefore, we see that in front of the bed is where you're allowed to distance yourself for amas. So the Gemara asks, Ma chazis the apchit basraisa epech kamaisa? Where do you see that you should reverse the second one? Maybe you should reverse the first statement. So the Gemara says no, because man shamat le de amar kula bayis karba amas dami. Who is the one that we know that says this statement that even if the house would be 100 amas long, that it has a din like you're in the dalet amas in that immediate area of it, and therefore it would be forbidden to recite krishma in front of it? If Reb Shimon Elazar, it's Reb Shimon Elazar, and therefore it would make more sense to reverse the second one, and that Reb Shimon Elazar is the one that says that even if the house is 100 amas, you're not allowed to recite krishma facing the grav shel rei. So now the Gemara continues on this halacha of that if the graf, if this receptacle that's designated for urine or for excrement, if it's under the bed, that it's mutter, the Gemara qualifies this. Amar of Yosef, b'yim neim Rav Huna. I asked from Rav Huna the following question. Mita pachas mishleisha pshitili de kalavadami. If there's a bed that is lower than 3 tvachim high, then it's obvious to me that it's like lavad and that it's extending down to the bottom, and that it's as if the graf shel rei is not there, that it's almost, because the bed takes it all the way down to the ground and it's like closed off. However, shloisha, arba, chamisha, shisha, shiva, shmoyne, tisha, mahu. My question was, but regarding if it is 3 tefachim high, or 4, or 5, or 6, or 7, or 8, or 9, then what's the halacha? Would it be considered that it's being mafsik, that it's as if it's closing off the area of the what's under the bed and you would be able to recite krishma or not? So Malay lo yadan, he says, I don't know. So then he comments that regarding what he asked him, he says, Asara vadi lo mibayili. That regarding asking him if it's the bed is 10 tefachim high, that I definitely didn't ask him, because that's definitely that it's considered a separate area and it wouldn't be considered covering the graph and it would be prohibited. So Amar Abaye, Shapra vadi lo mibayili. Abaye says, it's good that you did, that you didn't ask him this, because kol asura rishu sachriti, anything that's 10 tefachim of area, that's like a separate domain, and therefore, although the bed is on top of it, since it's higher than 10 tefachim, it wouldn't be considered like it's covering the graf shel rei, and therefore it would definitely would be asur. However, he didn't answer regarding the area in between 10 and 3. So now, lahalacha, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, hilchasa pachas mishleisha kalavad. I mean, that if it's less than 3 tefachim, it's like it's extended downwards the bed, and it's like closed off that area. Asara rishusa achriti, if it's higher than 10 tefachim, it's a separate domain, and therefore it would definitely be prohibited. Mishleisha asara, and boyim ne Rav Yosef, Rav Huna b'lei pashalei. But from 3 to 10 is what Rav Yosef had asked from Rav Huna, and he didn't resolve him, and he didn't tell him what the halacha is. So the Gemara says, Amar Av, halacha ki b'shimin ben Elazar. The halacha is like b'shimin Elazar, that the whole house is forbidden, and as long as it's visible, it's going to be a problem, even if it's 100 amas long. The son of the daughter of Shmuel, the halacha gives Shimon Elazar, as long as the house is even 100 amas long as you can see it, it's prohibited until you take it out or until you put it under the bed. Rava Amar in halacha gives Shimon Elazar. Rava says, no, the halacha is not like him, and as long as you're out of the four amas, it would be permitted to say it. So now the Gemara continues towards a similar halacha regarding if there's a Sefer Torah in the room, and that is, there's a problem of doing different things which would be disgraceful for the Sefer Torah, so what to do about that? Rav Achoy iasikli librei. Rav Achoy was involved with the shidduch of his son, Bei Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, marrying the house, meaning the daughter of Rav Yitzchak, the son of Shmuel Bar Marta, and Ailei Lechupa, he brought him into the bridal chamber to, so to speak, to consummate his marriage. But he wasn't being successful. In other words, he wasn't able to be boyal, he wasn't able to have marital relations, he wasn't consummating his relationship. So he went after him to go investigate what's going on. Why are they not, so to speak, being involved in the first mitzvah? So Chaza Sefer Torah Demanche, he saw that there was a Sefer Torah in the room. Amalahu, so he told to those that were involved in organizing the room, he says, how is it possible that if I wouldn't have came here and checked this out, you would have caused something dangerous to happen to my son? That you almost made him die because of the danger of the sin that you would have caused him. The Tanya, as he learned in the Braisa, on a house that has a Sefer Torah tefillin, also the shamash by samita at shitzim oishen nichem kli b'tekli, that it would be forbidden to have marital relations until either you take it out of the room or until you put it in a receptacle inside another receptacle. So therefore, how can you just leave a Sefer Torah there? Of course, he cannot consummate his relationship, his marriage, because the Sefer Torah that's in the room. However, the Gemara qualifies this halacha regarding that if it is permitted, if it's in two coverings, in two receptacles, it's only if it's in the receptacle, in the vessel, that's not designated for the Sefer Torah or for the tefillin. Of a beklisha or kelyon, but if it is a vessel that is for it, for example, the mantle of the Sefer Torah or the tefillin zekel, afil asara mani kichad mani dom, then even if there's 10 coverings, are like one. And that is, although there's 10 of them, it's still considered like one, and won't be enough of a covering. You'll have to put at least another covering on it to be sufficient for the halacha of permitting tashmash amita in the same room. So, Amar Rava, glima, a cloak, and then we continue on to the top of Chavo Meralf, a kamtera that's over a cabinet is keklibata klidami, that would qualify as this halacha of having a receptacle in a receptacle. And that is, if let's say there's a svarm shrunk, and that is this swarm there. So the cabinet itself, when it's closed, is one covering. And then you put a cloak, let's say you put just a towel or a blanket over it, that would be considered like a kis b'teich kis, a kli b'teich kli, and therefore it would be mutter to have tashmash shemitah. And this is something that's very negeh for a nechsani when people go to different places that they're staying, and there might be a swarm shrunk, that if it's closed and then you put on the blanket, that would be considered a qualified of halacha of kli b'teich kli. So the Gemara says that regarding a Sefer Torah, Omri Bishu ben Levi, Sefer Torah tzorach las lemechitza asara. A Sefer Torah is not enough. It needs to have a mechitza, has to have a partition that's at least 10 tfachim high. And that is, if not, you're not allowed to have tashmash amita, not allowed to have marital relations. So the Gemara says a story related to this, that Mazutra iklu be Ravashi. Mazutra went to the house of Ravashi. Chazi leduchti de mab Ravashi, de monach be Sefer Torah. So he saw the place, in other words, where the bedroom of Mar, who was the son of Avashi, so that there was a Sefer Torah there. V'ovele mechitza asar, and that he had made a partition of 10 tefachim between the Sefer Torah and his bed. So Amalei Kamatz, he says, who are you doing this like? Rebishu ben Levi, are you doing like Rebishu ben Levi, that he allows a mechitza of asara between the Sefer Torah and the bed? Eim adam Rebishu ben Levi, diles lebeis achrina. When Rebishu ben Levi say this halacha? When you don't have any other house or room where to put the Sefer Torah, then you're allowed to do it with a mechitza of asara. Mar ha'isle beis achrina, but the master, you Ravash, you have other rooms, so therefore, what are you doing allowing it in the same room with a mechitza asara? So Amalei lavadatai says, I didn't think of it. In other words, I didn't realize that the I had this issue with the Sefer Torah and the bed, and therefore, yes, I would definitely switch the room. So Taisus says that this halacha that requiring a mechitza of 10 tefachim is dafka by Sefer Torah. And similarly, Torah says, by Chumashim, one should be machmer like a Sefer Torah. But by other Svarim, it's enough with a covering, in other words, to have a covering within a covering, that would be enough for the halacha to allow one to have marital relations in the same area, in the same room.